Good afternoon, everyone who's gathered with us this afternoon. It's a blessing to be together. It's good to see you. I invite you to open your Bibles with me for just a moment to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. These batteries are dead, so we will hold off on that for right now. In Romans chapter 1, Paul reminds us that we have a tool at our disposal that is more powerful than any weapon that this world has to offer and is able to change more about this world than anything else we possess. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The more that I travel, the more that I try to work with people within the gospel, the more I see the truth of this verse. The gospel is not our power, but it is God's power to salvation for all of eternity. And I think a lot of times we forget that. We think of the gospel as it's a good message, it's helpful, it helps us, you know, kind of order some things in our lives, get out of some bad situations. But to remember the incredible tool that God has put in our hands, I think that is motivating for us, and it's helpful as we see it change people's lives. I want to tell you this afternoon about my trip to Guatemala a couple of weeks ago, and about the gospel specifically in the country of Guatemala. And again, as I emphasized last October when I got back, this is God's power, and especially seeing it in a culture very different from ours. Oh, it is on. Thank you. Especially seeing the gospel in a culture that's so different from ours, it's just so powerful to me, and such a powerful reminder that I want to bring back with me, that we need to be using this tool everywhere that we go, because there are people that are hungry and thirsty for this message, this soul-saving message that God has given us to share. On this particular trip, I went with a brother named Eric Huggins, pictured here, who I grew up with, actually. Our fathers preached together in Lincoln, Nebraska for several years in the 90s, so it was a blessing to be with Eric. He teaches high school Spanish over in Pittsburgh, and he was able to help me with a lot of grammatical and technical things that he's a lot better at than I am. And this is Brother Gilmar Perez, who we stayed with for most of this trip. He really helped kind of organize our trip and coordinate some of the things with the different congregations that we were working with. And this is his son, one of his children, Brian Perez. And on this particular trip, again, this is Guatemala, if you're not familiar with Central America. It's right on the other side of Mexico, there in the midst of Central America. And we went to seven different groups. We were in the country this time. We started out, we landed in the city of Guatemala and met with a brother there. And I just want to mention real quickly, we didn't visit these churches, but this is a picture that Brother Enrique, I'll show you his picture in a moment, drew for us of the city of Guatemala, the capital, and of a lot of the different works that are going on there. I don't expect you to be able to read that, but this is just an interesting kind of sketch down on a napkin. I thought it was a cool thing just to see. And there are at least three works here on this side and four works here. And he was telling on the other side of the city, he was telling us about some new converts who had immediately converted their families and just some really exciting things that the gospel or that the Lord is doing through the gospel in the capital city of Guatemala. If the Lord wills that Eric and I can go back at some point in the future, I don't know when that may be. We'd really like to spend some time in the capital city. But I want to just tell you a little bit about where we went and what the Lord is doing there. We spent, again, most of our time in Quetzaltenango, or the city of Xela, as they call it. We also visited up in Huehuetenango in a place called Piedra Parada, which basically means stood up rock, because that's what the city is basically built on. San Pedro and San Rafael out here. Spent some time near the Mexican border during our trip. When we were in Quetzaltenango, this is kind of a zoomed in map, we were at three different congregations. One is over in Zona 8, or Zone 8, as you can tell there, on the north side of town. In Urbina, this is the congregation where David Rafe was working when he and his family lived for 6 years there in Guatemala. And one that I couldn't find, but it's over farther to the east, in Pacha. That's where Hilmar is from. That's where he works, and we spent a good bit of our time out in Pacha. What I want to just show you, these are pictures of the seven congregations, some of them better than others, that we worked with in the different places in Guatemala. And there are a lot of small churches there. The average size of the congregations that we visited with are about 25 to 30, depending on the group. And one reason for that is they just don't have a lot of reliable transportation. The roads there are really, really bad. And so they have a lot of smaller groups where we might have, you know, larger groups, like a congregation like this. You know, we have people driving in from some pretty good distances, whereas they don't have so much that ability. So there are a lot more congregations in a space where we might have fewer, and there are the smaller groups. But very encouraging to be with the brethren in these different parts of Guatemala. And where's Enrique's not in one of these pictures, but I think I have a picture of him in one of these pictures in just a moment. But I want us to think about just a couple of applications as we go through the lesson tonight that I'm continuing to learn from our Guatemalan brethren and from their examples. And we're going to talk a little bit about hospitality and generosity, and that there really isn't an excuse for us to hold back from giving all of the incredibly good things that God has given to us. We have so much more ability in this department, and I don't think we're maybe doing as much as our brethren who don't have as much as we do. And that's certainly convicting for me personally. And also just the hunger for the Word. I'll tell you a little bit about some of the studies we had there in just a moment. But just to see these brethren and their study of God's Word. This is a message that can be understood by anyone, of any culture, of any time. And we need to believe in that and be hungry ourselves to learn it for ourselves and not just go off of what we're hearing. And eager to share that with people and be looking for people that are hungry for the Word. And finally, we'll talk a little bit about endurance and just the examples of some of the brethren there who are in some very difficult circumstances physically and spiritually and are really sticking it out and being a fantastic example, I think, for each one of us. We'll talk first just about the hospitality and the generosity of the brethren there. Again, it's a third world country. It's very different from here. But again, as I emphasized last October, these brethren are doing fine as far as they're concerned. There's not a great sense of need or a sense of poverty about them. They have the things that they need to live and to survive and to share. When we went here to visit, Eric and I were constantly almost overwhelmed with the amount of food that these brethren will offer you. There were a couple of times we were like, listen, you know, I really want another round, but you know, I'm eating basically to show kindness to you because I don't want to say no. And it was just, they're very, very generous, constantly getting together in the different homes of the brethren there. This is the home of some of the brethren. I believe it was in Zona 8. Got together around the fire, had kind of a barbecue, and most of the congregation would come together. It was interesting to me, sometimes after there would be one of the gospel meeting get-togethers or whatever you want to call them, just the reunions, as they say. People would kind of leave very quickly, but it was mainly because they were all going to the same place afterwards. They would all go to a brother or sister's house and be eating together. And again, things are just very simple there, but everything that you need. This is the breakfast table at Hilmar's house where we shared our mornings together. Very enjoyable discussions on this particular trip around this table. This is a picture around that table with, this is Eric, Hilmar, his wife Maria, and their kids, Brian, Jennifer, and I don't know where their other kid went off to. In this particular picture, he may be behind Mardo over here, but more on that in just a minute. This is a brother named Juan Garcia, and he operates kind of his own business out of his home. He does coffee and chocolate, and is a very well-studied brother in the Word. He had us over one morning, and we were studying at his breakfast table that morning for quite a while and discussing different things with him. But he was just very generous with some of his products to us and was just constantly giving, you know, having us into his home, giving us things that he had made himself. And again, here's another picture at the breakfast table from Heilmar's house. And I included this picture here as we talk about hospitality and generosity, because this is one of the looms, or the telas, that many of the brethren, particularly at the congregation in Urbina, work at one of these jobs. It's long, hard hours of manual labor. It's really cool to watch them going back and forth and making these Guatemalan fabrics and things. But they work really hard to bring home you know, the money that they make, and then to share that with other people. And let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Because I think all of this goes to illustrate what the Hebrew writer was encouraging these Jewish Christians to do. He says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And this idea that these brethren would just open up their homes to these couple of gringos, you know, coming from a place far away, was just really moving to me, really helpful. And to see that they were doing it from very little, comparatively speaking, to what we have. It's almost a cultural thing there, even. That they just, if there's a guest that shows up, whether they're invited or not, you're going to take them in, and you're going to give them something. You're going to share what you have with them. And they'll, you know, be taken care of in that sense. And this is such an area in which we can grow and we can do better, and I believe, is to be able to show Christ's love to people and just giving and being ready to open our homes to people, being ready to get together with people. I think one of the reasons the brethren there are so close is they're constantly in one another's homes, constantly spending that time with one another. Hospitality is one of the great doors that can open up doors for the gospel. When we see Jesus in his ministry, spending time with tax collectors and sinners, you know, he's there in their homes. They're opening up their homes to Jesus. He receives hospitality. And we see people like Aquila and Priscilla and their examples. I was reminded of Aquila and Priscilla with some of the couples in Guatemala who have opened their homes to the church and even, you know, moved to a particular dwelling so that they could make sure the church had a place to meet with that in mind, kind of designing and choosing their dwelling place for that kind of hospitality, hosting the church in their home all the time, having, you know, buying extra chairs and things like that to set up. And so these brethren were very encouraging to me on this front. It's just not thinking of what they had as belonging to themselves, but constantly sharing with others. And the effect that had was that there were constantly people coming over. Sometimes it wasn't even Christians who would come, but there were constantly other people coming into their homes. And sometimes that was what led to good conversations about the gospel with people who were not yet Christians. We got to have a few conversations with people. This wasn't so much an evangelistic trip to go out and door knock, but more of a trip to encourage the brethren, to help them to grow, to study with them. But some of the conversations we did get to have were because of the hospitality of brethren, because they were constantly having people in their home. That was a normal thing. And that can be certainly another tool that we can use to begin to know our neighbors better, to begin to know just anyone better, to be able to spread the gospel and plant seeds that would be profitable for the kingdom. I also want to think about their hunger for the word. We had so many good studies when we were there, so many more than just the lessons that Eric and I were able to present while we were there. This is one of the studies we had one morning. This is Mardo, who is the evangelist who preaches in Huehuetenango out there to the north. It's a very small group. It's basically Mardo and one family. And they are persevering. This is one of those families that moved to a place where they could, so that they could start a work there, basically, and continue a work there. But we were studying in that morning on Hebrews chapter 2. We got into some very interesting discussions about Psalm 8. It kind of started in Psalm 8, but ended up in Hebrews 2. And just talking about the fulfillment of that, talking about, is this man that he's talking about here? Or is this talking about Jesus? Or is it talking about both? Or and just some of the prophecies and the foreshadows between Psalm 8 and Hebrews 2. And very interesting, fascinating discussion with Mardo and with Helamar as well, who was in on that study. This is one of the nights, and there goes our signal. Hopefully we can get this to hold a good signal. But this was one of the nights at the house of a brother named Fariñas, where we stayed up probably till midnight or 1. I had actually accidentally fallen asleep for part of the discussion. I was exhausted that day. Eric is a little tired in this picture as well. But we stayed up discussing different biblical topics with, this is again, Brother Helamar, who preaches in Pacha. And not pictured here on the other side of us was Fariñas. But just stayed up discussing different biblical topics with these men that were very, very encouraging. This is the breakfast table of Brother Juan Garcia, who I mentioned to you, who has the coffee and chocolate business in his home, and his wife. And this is Brother Fariñas, who is notable for his huge mustache. Really interesting guy. But I remember talking particularly about marriage at the time that we got together at their breakfast table, and some of the different things that they face in marriage and divorce situations there in Guatemala, where couples end up being apart for large amounts of time if a husband decides to go to the United States to work, and just some different temptations than the things that we face here in the States, but trying to discuss those things with them from a biblical perspective and thinking about, well, what would you do in this kind of situation? What do the scriptures say? You know, here's the ways that we've handled it. Here's the way that we've seen other people handle it. What do you think? You know, and trying to discuss some of these things. Very encouraging. I think these men are thinking very biblically about these things. It's just very different to talk with them about some things that we talk about in the States, but with some different applications to them that maybe we don't think about as much or face as much. This was a study that we had about the Trinity. This is Brother Luis, who is one of the guys in Huehuetenango, part of the family that Mardo works with. And he had a question about the Trinity. So we spent that morning talking about the Trinity, had a study for about an hour and a half, I think almost 2 hours. Brother David Rafe was able to join us for that over Skype, which was kind of cool to be able to study with him. We have so many tools, brethren, at our disposal that we can use to spread the gospel. And we can study with people half a world or a whole world away almost instantly. And we need to be using these things to spread the gospel. This is a study that they have every Monday night in Urbina. This is a men's study that they have there. Very encouraging. They allowed Eric and I to split the time teaching that study. But the times that I've been there, this was my second time to meet with the men. It's very encouraging to see them get together and just the different ones that are making comments. Very profitable time with the men there in Urbina. And this was just some of a picture of one of the conversations we were having. This is Luis as well, the one who had the question about the Trinity. We went fishing, Guatemalan-style fishing, which is just you have a line in your hand with a little bitty hook, and you just kind of throw it in the water at the little lake there. But we were just talking all the afternoon about different struggles that we have and some very helpful things. I was really grateful for Eric. Luis and Mardo was there as well. We were just able to be there with them. And again, it just seemed like almost everywhere we would go, there was this desire to talk about spiritual things. There was this desire to grow. We talked about other things as well. But just some very good memories of people that are trying to grow and really hungry for God's word. We remember the example in Acts 17 and verse 11 of the Bereans that just came to my mind as I think about these brethren spread across Guatemala. As Paul had visited Thessalonica, and they didn't want to hear what he had to say, he would later visit Athens, and they just wanted something new. They didn't care what it was, but they're ready to worship the unknown God. But in between those two places, Paul visited Berea, and it says that now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so many of our brethren in Guatemala are eager for the word and are just constantly saying, hey, you know, can we study this other thing? We have some extra time here. What can we study? What can we talk about that's going to be profitable? And I feel like we need to grow in that. I need to grow in that. So many times when Christians get together, we do a lot of good things and fun things. But I think we can be more eager for the Word. I know we can, because I've seen brethren that are just constantly wanting to grow, thinking, hey, we have a question about this. Let's talk about it. Let's study it. Let's have some time that we can get together for more study, for more opportunities, and let's search these things out in the Scriptures and see if they're so. So just some very helpful, very encouraging examples of what the brethren there are doing, what they're facing, and just things that we can learn, things that we can grow in here in the States as well. And I want to talk about a couple of specific examples about the endurance that is going on there with some of the brethren here in Guatemala. One of the examples I want to talk about, this is Hilmar and Jennifer, and if we can keep this, it's not being too bad this afternoon. This is Hilmar's wife, Maria, and she is in a very difficult physical situation. She had had a surgery a while back to have her gallbladder removed, and the surgeon made a mistake, ended up severing her bile duct, repaired it, ended up growing shut. And so they had to put a kind of a prosthesis in there to keep that open. But Maria's health is in a very delicate state right now. And basically when there's like pressure that builds up there because sometimes the prosthesis isn't working right or whatever, and it's very, very painful for her. And there are times where she will just be going and then she'll just kind of like faint from the pain. Like it'll be kind of all of a sudden and she'll just pass out. That happened 3 or 4 times when we were there staying with them. We stayed in her home, and it was incredible to me to see how much she was still focused on serving, to see how much she was just still going, still thinking of other people, even when she was not able to get up and serve for a lot of the time that we were there. There was one time where we had to get a doctor with an IV to come kind of in the middle of the night to help her get her through her situation. I'll mention this on the side. If any of you would like to talk with me after the sermon tonight, there may be an opportunity with this family in particular with a financial need that we may be able to help out with. I want to be very careful about those things, very careful about sending money to a place like Guatemala. But I think there are some real legitimate things that we can help with in this situation. Well, more on that if you'd like to talk with me later. But the thing that I want to emphasize about Maria is her character and her example of endurance. It's so easy for us to let circumstances or to let health problems or to let other types of circumstances become an excuse for us. I can't do that now because I've got this going on, I've got that going on. And Maria just did not give excuses. She was constantly looking for ways to serve. Eric and his wife are expecting a baby in the next month or so. And she, in the midst of everything else she was doing, worked together with her daughter, Jennifer, to knit, hand-make this little dress for Eric and Jennifer's baby that they're expecting. And just little things like that, just constantly looking for ways to give and overcoming the obstacles that are put in her way. And you know, if we want an excuse to not do something, Satan is always ready to give us an excuse and say, oh, okay, well, here can be an excuse, there can be an excuse. We can always find an excuse to not do something. But examples of sisters like Maria just remind me that if we want to find a way to serve, even if there are a bunch of obstacles, we can find a way to do the Lord's work, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what disadvantages we might have. We remember in Hebrews chapter 12, don't we? The examples that were given in Hebrews chapter 11 of those who didn't give up and those who overcame, who had that faith and things that they couldn't see, trusted in the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. this verse gives us a couple of things that we need to do if we're going to run with endurance. And one of the things it is that we need to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. We've got to be people who are pure. We've got to get rid of those things that are going to keep us from running. But the other thing that this verse mentions, it says, let us lay aside every weight. I think the idea here is this weight is kind of a different idea from the idea of the sin. The sin can entangle us, but there's an idea of these weights that may not even necessarily be sinful things, but what happens when you're running and you have too much weight on you? If you're just like wearing unnecessary clothing, or if you are trying to like carry stuff with you, if it's unnecessary, you're not going to be able to run with endurance. It's going to weigh you down. That's going to stop you from going. And it's people like Maria, they're carrying some weight that's not theirs to choose, but they're willing to like get rid of other things, to set other things aside to do what the Lord wants them to do. And we need to figure out, what are those things in our life? What are those weights that may be keeping us from running with endurance the race that's set before us? It's going to be different for each one of us. But we really need to think about these examples of endurance and of just having that mindset of service and a focus on that. Let me tell you a little bit about Lucy here. And this is Eric with his Mr. Rogers shirt that they liked. Lucy is the mom of the family that lives in Wewetenango. This is the congregation that Mardo works with. And Lucy, her husband, passed away about 4 or 5 years ago at this point. And she's raising 4 boys on her own, not of her own choosing. But she's also the one that the church there meets in her home. And she found a place that they could have. They had their own meeting place for a while, but ended up things didn't work out. So they relocated so that the church could meet in their home. And there are times when things are very hard for Lucy. She was very open with us one evening as we stayed in her home about kind of her situation. And one of the things that she said was that she really wanted to be part of like kind of a larger group. She really wanted some other women that she could like talk to and be close to. And it was very, very tempting for her to just go and... Oh, I thought it was charging. Thank you. Well, this is our last slide anyway, so hopefully... I don't know why this is not functioning. Well, if it dies, it dies. We will proceed. I can't close that at the moment. So, but she said it's really tempting for her to just go to one of these evangelical churches that's nearby. That would be a lot bigger, that there'd be a lot of other people that she could be around, kind of have more of a support group. But she said, I'm not willing to sacrifice the teaching of Christ to do that. I'm not willing to give up all that the Lord has given me, to sacrifice so that I can be more comfortable, be in a more comfortable situation. And that moved me. That was powerful to me, to think about this woman, her situation, being willing to stick that out. Because they've been in Wewetenango for a while, and they're working hard, Mardo and Luis and Jordi. They're 2 older guys. They're kind of the men of the congregation. Mardo's 27. Luis and Jordi are really 22 and 20. So they're kind of the 3 guys at that congregation. The 2 other boys are younger. And they're out door knocking. They're out trying to make disciples. But that's still a really small group that's just struggling, fighting to hang in there. Lucy is doing so much for them and helping them. So these are things that we can be praying about and examples that we can be drawing from. We have such a blessing in the family here. We have so many people that we can go to, people that we can grow with, can take encouragement from. And I think it's so easy to take that for granted. So easy for us to just kind of think about, oh, well, you know, we got this. If there's sisters like Lucy that are just hanging in there and are not willing to compromise, we can be doing so much more with what we have. And can be doing whatever we can to reach out to people that are in situations like Lucy is. If we go back, we're hoping that Jen, Eric's wife, could accompany us. She had gone on Eric's last trip about 1 year ago. And she was a big encouragement to Lucy when she went. So we're hoping to find ways to encourage her and continue to encourage the brethren there with Skype studies, things like that, be able to continue to see them and encourage them in the work there in Guatemala. But I hope we've been moved to think about ourselves tonight and think about the different things that we need to do to better serve the Lord. We have such a responsibility, brethren. We have such opportunity and such ability with the gospel that has been put into our hands. And how are we doing with that? What are we doing with that? I want to encourage all of us to think about the power of the gospel to change people's lives. First, to change our lives, to make sure that we are getting the sin out of our own life and running with endurance the race that God has given us to run. And then thinking about those that need the gospel in our lives. I hope that we will think about our Guatemalan brethren and pray for them. If you want more information, this is again just a small report of the things that we did. If you'd like more pictures or more people that you can be praying for, if you're somebody who keeps a prayer list or whatever, I'd be happy to give you names, give you stories of people that are there. But I hope that for all of us, we will continue to grow in our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This tool that we have to change the lives of those that are around us. It's not our power, it's His power. If you need to respond to the gospel invitation tonight and be baptized into Jesus Christ, wash away your sins to repent of those sins, or if you need the encouragement of the brethren here, if you've been feeling more isolated and you need a support group, if you need prayers, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. If there's any way we can help you to come to Him and His gospel, won't you come to the front while we stand and sing this song?